Amen. I think Pastor Rachel just threw a heater. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 2. I had something pretty, actually, it's kind of funny, but I had something in my heart prepared to minister this morning, and I'm going to give this to Pastor Rachel, but I'm going to tuck that away. But I was sitting right here, and the Lord just spoke to my heart to go in a different direction. And how many know the direction that He wants to go is a good direction? Amen. And so if you're with us for the very first time online, we say welcome to Destiny Church. Again, I'm Pastor Aaron, and I'm excited about what God is doing in this generation. Can anybody get an amen? Can I get an amen to that? Some of you, you go to your workplaces, you go to your homes, and what you see is you see God moving in your midst. You see the seed of the Word that's been planted in your heart over the years being demonstrated in your house and in your home. Some of you wives in here, if it wasn't for the fact that you were praying, amen, you faithfully prayed for your children, your family, amen. And I would go as far as say this, don't ever allow Satan, the enemy, because he's your adversary. What does John 10:10 say? Satan comes as a what? A thief to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said what? That I have come that you may have what? Life and life in abundance. So we look at it like this. We quote the scripture a lot in this house because we love to draw the parallel to Satan. We used to do this in youth ministry. If you've ever been in youth groups or youth, we say God good, devil bad. Right? God good, devil bad. And you say, well, that's so simple. Well, it's a simple truth because if you have a lack of knowledge on an issue, how many of you know that there's times that you can blame God for things when God never had His hand on any of it? Does this make sense? Amen. I mean, you know, we can look to the rioting. Can we get real this morning? Come on, walk with me. We can look to the rioting. We can look to the politics that are going on in our nation right now. Come on. And the reason I feel like we're going this direction is a change of where I had prepared, because we're going to wrap up today and we're going to spend a little bit more time in prayer for our nation. I really believe in my heart, while I was sitting here on the front row, the Lord just kind of put it on my heart that we as a church, the body of Christ, we need to spend some time in intercession this morning praying for our nation. We did it a little bit here. I think some of you are nodding at me. You're like, you know what? I sense that in my heart too. And so this morning, we're going to, if you have your Bibles or your devices, you can go over to Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. We're going to read a little bit of scripture, and then we're going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to pray. Amen. And so God good, devil bad. How many of you know with what's going on in our nation, there's a lot of people, you see it in your social media posts. Amen. You see it in your Instagram, Snapchat. You see it in all your filters. If you'll look through, what do you constantly see? What? Negativity, negativity, negativity. And this is the thing, as Christians, if we're not careful, we can grab a hold with a good intention, and then we begin to let that political riotous and all that's going on, listen, it begins to fill your mind. It begins to fill. Come on, we're a three-part being, right? I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in this body. Amen. The real you is born of God, and it has the life of God in it. Say it with me this morning. I know this is not an elementary classroom, but how many of you know sometimes people learn different ways? And in auditory, you know, biblical confession, just saying it and letting your ears hear it, come on, it helps you. Amen. So when we say God good, devil bad, we really mean that. Amen. But God is good. Amen. So when we say repeat after me, I know this is not elementary school, but how many of you know there's some good things? How many teachers we got in the house are former teachers? How many of you are instructors on your jobs? How many of you have trained people? You're not raising your hand. I know you've trained a lot of people. Amen. Some of y'all are real humble, but you know things happen on your job because you make them happen, and you know what it needs, and you know what it takes. Amen. But I want to say this. And this is a little bit direction, going a different direction. But say this with me. Say, the life of God is in me. Come on. I'm born of God. And whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, is my faith. Amen. Did you hear that? That's scripture. Amen. So sitting here this morning, in your chair this morning, the life of God, if you're born again, you've received Jesus Christ, right? Where you're a college student, amen, or whatever title or position you have, no matter where you work, remember, the very first thing that you are is a what? A Christian first. Come on, before I'm pastor, I'm a son. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? Pastor Rachel, before she's pastor, she's a daughter. Come on, your job, your title on your job is what you do, but it is not who you are. Amen. And so we're going to talk about this morning a little bit because we're going to look at Peter and John. And we're going to look at the life of God working in and through them. Amen. And that it was the power and the ability of God working through us. The same power and ability that works through Peter and John. Come on, the Apostle Paul and many of the disciples that we read in the New Covenant. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of them. Well, that same power, listen, that raised Christ from the dead, come on, lives in you. Amen. And so listen, when we're praying for people and when we're praying for our nation, come on, we don't have to conjure up an emotion. We don't have to conjure up a feeling. On your worst day, come on your worst day, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on your worst, I cuss today. You're still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, you don't know what I did today. You're still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor, I got to talk to you. Come on, I've got phone calls before. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be a death. This is heavy. Pastor, we got to meet over coffee. And we have a five-minute conversation of, well, Pastor, I cussed today. And I'm a believer, and I just told somebody off. And I'm just like, that's your first time? You know, can we just get real? Can we get real this morning? And you say, well, why, Pastor? Why would you say that? Because here's the thing, guys, is every day Peter and John had their body, come on, to put Romans 12:1 says what? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your body. Listen, everybody take your hand and touch yourself this morning. Come on, touch. This is called your body. And every day you have to present your body daily, come on, to the Lord Jesus Christ, which means your body wants to do things. Did you know that? Your body, David, your body, our bodies want to do things. They are not saved. Come on. Come on. When you're born again, you receive Jesus Christ. The life of God is in you, and your spirit is born again. But your mind has to be what? Renewed to the Word of God. Right? So when we pick up this Bible, we read about the works of Peter and John, and we don't go, man, I messed up and cursed somebody out today. No, you're a Christian who's growing and walking with Christ, and you're learning to put your body under subjection daily to the Lord Jesus Christ, and your mind renewed. What does Romans 12:2 say? Come on, I present your bodies. Then it says, hey, take this word, Romans 12:2, and do what with it? Renew your mind. Take a bath in the Word of God. Allow the Word, the seed of the Word. Come on, the Bible, say this with me, the Bible is God speaking to me. The Bible is God speaking to you. When you read the Word, come on, somebody say, I need a prophetic word. Well, those are good. And God will, listen, He will confirm His Word. He will do it. Come on. I have a friend of mine who preaches a message called, Won't He Do It? I love it. He's a mentor and a friend in my life, and he preaches a message called, Won't He Do It? Come on, won't He do it? Won't God do it? So what are you saying today? I want to send you out of here up. I want to send you out of here with an understanding that the greater one lives on the inside of you, that on your worst day, come on, you're still the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, what does that mean? Well, I have right standing with God, which means I can walk anywhere at any time in His presence with bold access and say, Father, come on, I worship You. I praise You. I thank You. And the enemy's in your ear going, you don't know what you said. You don't know what you said. You don't know what you did. Come on. And see, this is where religion gets us choked up, because there's so many people sitting in the body of Christ today that are chewing on the fact of what they did before they came in for worship. And you worship three songs and the glory of God can drop in the building. And you see people over here getting healed and you're like, there ain't nothing happened with me. Well, the thing is, you need to do Romans 12:1 first, present that body to God, and then you need to immediately get over into Romans 12:2 and renew your mind that I am righteous and I have bold access, and Jesus died for sin once and for all. Come on, somebody. That's an amen right there. Amen means so be it. And you know what righteousness consciousness does? It gets you out of sin consciousness. It gets you out of condemnation, out of this shameful thinking that I did wrong, and you're always, come on. And then your confession, the devil jumps on that, and your confession always, well, I'm just going to mess up here. I'm always going to be this way. This is just the way it is and nothing. No, when you get in the Word of God, come on. You get the Word in you, and you say, Lord, help me. And the Holy Spirit says what? I'm coming to help you. And then what happens? Go on, he comes to help. But say this with me. Say, the Holy Spirit is the helper. I'm the doer. He's the helper. Come on, we're the doer. So when the Holy Spirit says, hey, let me help you with that. Let me talk to you about that. I'll show you how to defeat issues in your body. I'll show you how to beat symptoms down when sickness and disease. Come on, does the Word have anything to say about sickness and disease? Does the Word have anything to say about your soul? It does. So know this, every day of your life until Jesus comes back, and he is coming back, you're going to have to contend for your faith. You're going to have to make a stand and say, listen, daily I present my body, daily, come on, my mind renewed in the Word of God. And it moves us over into what? Miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? Because it moves the whole context off of you and puts it over on God. When it's this relationship we have with Christ is not about your feelings, but it's about covenant. Come on, amen. Come on, wife, I feel like I'm a Christian today. No, you put a ring on it. Come on. When I said to my wife, I do, not only did I kiss her beautiful lips, but I put a ring on it. Come on. And we cut covenant. The ring is a symbol of covenant. You put that on. And whether you're married tonight, you're married to the Lord, or this morning, you're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? God good, devil bad. Come on. God wants to manifest himself through you. He wants to manifest himself through me. And when our consciousness is always on guilt and condemnation and shame, we need to get our mind renewed to the Word of God and get over into the area of thinking of righteousness, consciousness. This is who God says that I am. Come on, right? It's been said that righteousness is the ability to stand before the Father without the sense of what? Inferiority or guilt or shame. So if Jesus died to sin once and for all, there's this thing called repentance. 1 John 1:9 has a lot to say about that. You know, 1 John 1:9 is just not for salvation. Come on, it's not just when you become born again and you're just giving over. Lord, I was born into sin because of Adam's transgression. He gave over the title deed and gave dominion over to Satan. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, what? Satan became the little g of this world. And then Jesus, the second Adam, came and stomped him and put to flight, come on, all the devils and demons. And Colossians says that when Jesus rose from the dead, what happened? He rose with a spectacle. Come on, it was a spectacle. He rose with power. He rose with authority. Come on, everything that the Father sent him to do, what did he do? He accomplished it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when we read this text of Scripture this morning, it's coming from the idea, from the biblical truth, this truth of this is what God wants me to do as a Christian in the earth. So that when we read this, if Peter and John can produce this, then Aaron Clements, David Pinkerton, come on, Danny Clements, many of you in this room can produce this. And how can we produce this? Because my thoughts are not my thoughts. Come on. My thoughts are not God's thoughts, nor my ways, come on, God's ways. But Come on, God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and God's ways are what? Higher. See, we need to come up to a level of thinking that we look at this passage of Scripture, as we're going to read here, that it's not, whoa, that's Peter and John, or whoa, that's the Apostle Paul. You see yourself and say, man, this is me. When I go out into my generation, Jesus purchased dominion with his shed blood and gave me the title deed back and the keys to the kingdom to have bold access to everything the Bible promises. That's not only just physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, emotionally, financially, it's every realm. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, Christians in this generation, and I've been here, is we walk around going, ooh, and oh, man, look what they're doing. God wants to move through you the same way. The same way. Come on, the same way. Can I just say this, regardless of your age? Some of you, you're like, well, I'm past my prime. What is your prime? Come on, I've heard this for years. What is your prime? You're promised 120 years. Come on, Jesus didn't say retire. He said go in all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Not our gospel, not our ways, not man's theology. He said go into all the world and do what, Tom? He said preach the gospel everywhere. So what are you saying? I'm saying we are righteous people. We are people that have to contend with our flesh daily, but we submit it to God and we allow the empowering of the Holy Spirit to help us crucify our flesh and put our body into subjection to the Word of God. The same thing is with our mind. I'm being repetitive, but we're moving on. The same thing with our mind. We crucify thought. We cast down. 2 Corinthians 10 says what? We are to cast down arguments and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself, what? Against or above the knowledge of God. So here's the truth right here. When something that is contrary comes to your mind, Ephesians 6 says you have the armor of God. Ephesians 6 says there is this thing called a fiery dart. It is thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. We've talked about it before. It is Satan's way to get at your soul because he cannot attack you because you have the life of God in you. So if he can get to your mind, he will get a place in there and he will build a stronghold. We've talked about that. And a stronghold is like an impenetrable fortress. It's like a prison in your mind that moves you into condemnation, into anxiety, into fear, into worry. And then it takes the Word of God. It takes the seed of the Word. This Word is a jackhammer. And you know what a jackhammer does? You ever been to New York City? I have. I've seen people like taking this jackhammer, and they're just busting up concrete and asphalt. What are they doing? They're tearing it up so they can make it better. They can design it better so the water will drain better. So people will quit falling in the hole. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so we're moving in this direction this morning, and I think it's kind of funny because this is what's been on my heart, is that, and it, let's look on over. We read in Acts chapter 2. What do we see? I'm going to paraphrase this, and if you want to read it for sake of context, you can. But in Acts chapter 2, this is what we see. We see Christians just like us. We see believers just like us. Come on. They've received Jesus Christ. Some of them were walking with Christ. And then what did Jesus tell these disciples to do? He said, go and tarry in Jerusalem. Come on. Until you be endued with what? Power from on high. So Christ has given his life. He's ascended, sat down at the right hand of the Father. And it says when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men and women and children. And so Christ is seated in the book of Acts. We'll read that in 1 and 2. So all the disciples are doing what Jesus told them to do. And we read this in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord. Grab that statement right there. All those disciples that have seen the persecution of Jesus, they have seen Christians beaten, they have seen martyred, they have seen people die. But here, in context to everything that they have gone through, even relationally, how many of you know when you get people together, people are going to rub each other? It happens, right? And so here's all these people that have been with Jesus. After all they have seen, all the brutality, this is the thing that nobody teaches. I don't hear this a lot. the murder, the Christians being tarred and feathered and burned at the stake, heads beheaded, come on, put upon a stake. A lot of murder going on of Christians because you had a government that was trying to shut down this whole thing, right? And so what are you talking about? Well, what I'm saying is they were in even everything they saw, they were still in unity. So that means even the riots and even the things that we're seeing, even the politics, you got Republicans and Democrats and independents, and it doesn't matter which side you're voting for. I'm not getting into that. What I'm talking about is regardless of your opinions and how things need to work, it's funny to me that these guys seen murder constantly, but yet they were in the upper room where Jesus told them to be, and they were still in unity. Might it be that even where we live right now, regardless of riots, regardless of chaos, regardless of divisions and schisms that we see, that we in heart and in mind can be in one place where we're supposed to be, what? In unity. See, I've heard it said like this. Unity is you and I tie. I'm not trying to one-up you. You're not trying to one-up me. You and I tie. We're in one accord. U-N-I-T-Y. Amen. And when you get in one accord, here's what happens. Power happens. God demonstrates himself when the body of Christ gets together. Amen. So I'm talking about even you cooperating with God. Not even just in the corporate worship setting. How about this as an individual, when you get in unity with the Word and unity with the Father? Because the Bible says that you are one. Amen. He lives in you. Amen. And so it says they were in unity in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, one set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And listen to this. Isn't this powerful? This is a powerful, powerful statement. See, when we read this as Pentecostals, we get hung up on the power and the tongues. But I want to read you a statement in verse 5 that is pretty dynamic. Verse 5, it says, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem. Listen, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Think about that for a second. There were different types of people, different languages, and different personalities. There were different kinds of people present, but yet the power was still produced. Do you hear what I'm saying? It tells me that I don't have to look like Lori. I don't have to talk like Lori. Lori don't have to look like me. She don't have to talk like me. Your Christianity and your walk with God may look just a little bit different than mine. The end result is that we're the body of Christ and we're in unity. I know my place. And why is it important to get in your place so we could see the power? And we can see the power demonstrated. And when we see the power demonstrated as an individual, we will see the power demonstrated corporately for sure. Amen. So then when a wheelchair comes up and the lady that's sitting or a man sitting in that or a child sitting in that wheelchair rolls into this place or rolls into where you're at, what do we do? God says, I have called you to do something about that. You hear it emphatically on the inside. I want you to go pray for that child. And because your body is what? Your flesh is Romans 12:1 and your mind is Romans 12:2. You're daily yielded to God, and you got righteousness, consciousness, and right thinking going on. Then your response is, man, let's do this. Regardless of how I feel that day, regardless of what I look like, what clothes, how I smell good, how sweaty you may be, because you've been working all day, but you rise up and say, God is God, and that is what I know, and he works through me. Let's do this thing, Lord. I'm going to pray because the results are all on you. I am your hands and your feet. And that's what we're reading about right here. Different people, they had problems too. Some people didn't like each other. There may be people that you may not like, and that's okay. Amen. There's times where you will gravitate toward people. It's just your personalities, it's people you like. That's okay, but we're still got a mindset of unity. Come on. Amen. And so all these people, different ethnicities, right here in this room, we have different ethnicities. We have in this house. Amen. Yeah, there's riots going on. We're still in unity. Yeah, there's politics being played with your life to get you in your social media feeds talking that 24/7. So it fills you so much that it gets your focus off of demonstration and off of salvation and gets your focus on politics, politics, politics. So much that when people don't want to be around you anymore because you're repelling people. It's not kingdom. It's your purpose coming out. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? Listen, yes, we need to be about politics. Yes, we need to be informed. But our politics should not be above the kingdom. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. God is very concerned with the political situation. That's why he has us praying the way that we do, demonstrating the way that we do, speaking the way that we do. Amen. So here they are. And in verse 6, it says, when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused. Isn't it just like the world to look at a bunch of Christians and go, man, I'm confused here. Because you got different personalities, you got different ethnicities, you got Jews, you got all kinds of people present, and they're all cooperating together. What is the common denominator that causes us all to cooperate with one another? It's God in us. The love of God in us. Even when we rub one another, what do? We get it under the blood. We make adjustments in our heart. We're not living a life of bitterness and offense because we're not fighting Christian against Christian. Our fight is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and demons. You know what I'm saying? Come on. And it's a fight that Jesus already won. We're just enforcing the defeat. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. So we're not fighting other Christians. We're not fighting other people, but the world says y'all are crazy, confused. But because everyone heard them speak, what? In his own language. Verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Listen to this. Here we go. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, verse 10, Egypt and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, listen, both Jews and proselytes, listen, Cretans and Arabs, Arabians. Isn't that powerful right there? Come on, where are we living at right now? Amen. There are people of different ethnicities. Come on. Different belief systems. They need us. Amen. And so here they are, all these guys. We hear them speaking in our own tongue. Listen, the wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. Let me say it again. All these people joined together, seen a lot, experienced a lot, different age groups, but in unity, one accord, where Jesus told them to, the fire dropped, they received their prayer language, they're baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now they have a supernatural prayer language and communication with God that is this powerful. So they go out of this place. Jump over to chapter 3 real quick in closing. Chapter 3, we see this. In chapter 3, we see this. We see that Peter stood up in Acts 2:14 with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, all those who were present, and he preached a very awesome, powerful message. Read that in Acts chapter 2. You can do that at your study time at home. But now he's not just Peter, he's in Peter empowered with what? The Holy Ghost. The life of God is in him. God said, go out, Peter, demonstrate. The very things that I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father, Jesus said, come on, I'm at the right hand. Now I need you to go out and do the very works. Well, you see, Pastor, I'm not that bold. But listen, you can learn to train yourself to be bold. Well, I'm introvert. I'm extrovert. Come on, I'm choleric. I'm sanguine. We're personality flaws. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? Get the out of your voice. Get on into the Word of God and find out who God says that you are. And let's get on down the road of mind renewal as a Christian, presenting our bodies, crucifying the flesh, telling our body, no, you're not going to say that today. You're not going to respond that way. Why? Because there's something to be demonstrated to this generation. And I can tell you, when you're in the flesh, the Bible says that when we as Christians are living in the flesh, we do not please God. There will be no demonstration. There will only be aggravation and frustration. And the enemy, if you stay in that place, Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you get into that place of frustration, the enemy's goal is to get you again back over into condemnation and stinking thinking. And the first thing you do, I don't know about you, but when I get frustrated, last thing I want to do is pick up my Bible. Can we just go there? When you get aggravated, you're like, Mom, just go into the Bible. Come on, when you get, y'all are laughing because you can, come on with me. You know what I'm doing? Oh, I'm going to go to the Word. Come on. That's the very thing you need to do. You need to train yourself in anger. You calm your little happy self down. However long it takes you, it may take you a little longer. And my wife, I've been married 15 years. It takes me a little longer to get calmed down, but I'm getting faster. Amen. I'm getting better. I'm getting quicker. Every day I'm getting better. Amen. What's your point? God being demonstrated to this generation through us. Again, I had a completely different message. I'm just rolling with God. So we see in Acts chapter 3. So Acts 2, Peter gets up, full of the Holy Spirit, just like you. Full of the Holy Spirit, whether it's one or thousands like Peter, we are to be bold for Christ. Amen. And then we are not only to be bold and allow the Holy Spirit to minister through us, and he'll teach us how to do that. Amen. This is what the church is for. The church is a training ground. Amen. It's a training center. The church is a place where we get to learn how to demonstrate and pray for people and get to minister to people right here in this place. You say, well, I've gone to churches. Yeah, and they don't do that. Well, this one does. We learn these things. This goal, the goal of Destiny Church, listen, is live, love, lead. Live through community, love unconditionally, and lead passionately. What? We got that from the book of Acts, where the apostles were breaking bread from house to house, steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Come on, doing the works of Jesus. This is what this place is about. This is what the church should always be about. Amen. We are the church. So again, we're not oohing and awing, goo-goo and gaga-ing at other people demonstrating God. We're going, wow, if Peter can do it, I can do it. If Paul can do it, I can do it. If James, come on, if Peter and John can do it, so can I. And so in verse 3, closing right here, Acts 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the ninth hour. And interesting, so we just had the Holy Spirit poured out. We just saw a demonstration where thousands were saved, came to know Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, because Peter got up with the 11 and was bold to speak in the name of Jesus. There was great demonstration. Then we see that Peter and John are doing what? Now they're going over to the temple. So they're going to the house of the Lord. They're going to the synagogue. They're going to the place to worship. They're going to pray. Does sound anything like forsaking not the assembly? And this is not, listen, this ain't a condemnation message. And this ain't like a biblical spanking. This is the Bible. I feel like sometimes when we go to church anymore, everything is so sugar-coated that we're just making Christians spiritually diabetic. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Like we're just giving pure sugar all the time. Come on. I like to feel good too. But when you have the pure, unadulterated, preached word, come on, the word, the word, come on. And I'm just trying to deliver it the best I know how. I've always said this, I'm not the best orator or speaker, but I'm just going to be what the apostle Peter and John are doing right here. I'm going to go to the house of the Lord, and when I go out, I'm going to do and be led by the Spirit the best I know how to do, and I'm going to grow up with God. And when I miss it, I'm just going to allow that missing it just be a chalk up for experience that next time, Lord, I'm going to hear you and be even bolder. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour praying, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Isn't it amazing to me that this guy was laid daily at the gate, and how many Christians or Jews or those who were believers went by every single day seeing this man and did nothing about his situation? Come on. You say, well, what's the big deal? Because there are people in your life, your family, your children, that moms, they need you to pray. Dads, they need you to pray. Come on. Older sisters, siblings, nephews, nieces, they need you to pray. Amen. Your cousins need you to pray. Amen. And then the church, people in the world, they need you. But this man said daily, begging daily. How many times do we walk by? Listen, I'm not talking about the guy that rides his bike around town, abuses people, begging for money, that's not serious about the kingdom, that's just religious. Come on, this is where you listen on the inside to the Holy Spirit, and your spirit bears witness and says, you know what, something ain't right about this situation. But even then, if you listen to the Spirit of God, you can sow the seed of the word and give that dude or that woman everything that God wants to give them. Even if they reject it, get the seed of the word. Come on, plant that seed. Preach them the word. Amen. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you're going to run into people that are abusive people. They've heard, been around churches enough. They know how to abuse the church, the people in the church. They know how to touch your pocketbook through what they do, mechanisms. Not talking about that. And even though their heart may be like this guy, come on, laying daily, right? See behind the person, come on, and what's motivating that person to do what they're doing. Usually, it's in 100% of the time, it's the devil and flesh working together. Amen. So this guy needed someone like you and me to come by and not just ignore him. Come on, there's that guy again. No. God said, you do something about that. Come on. This Jesus said, this is what I just died for. You do something about this. Now, my thing is this. This is a healing situation physically. How about walking by somebody that needs $20 in their pocket? Who needs a tank of, and I'm not talking about pity, somebody pitying us into giving. I'm talking about in your spirit, in your heart, you know you're supposed to take that person to the gas station and fill their gas tank. You know you're supposed to, in your heart, you know you're supposed to buy them some groceries. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about being spirit-led, hearing from the Spirit of God, but the Word has already called us to do these things. But in doing these things, I'm not, again, the balance here is not talking about dealing with abusive people that don't want to change, that know how to work the system. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's a balance in that. Amen. And so here's Peter and John. Verse 3, this man asking alms, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, verse 5, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Grab this statement right here, and if you don't have it underlined in your Bibles, underline it. This is powerful, because this is the name that we do everything in. This is where the power comes from. Come on. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Amen. And he took him by the hand. Listen to this. So he not only prayed for him, he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, so that he, leaping, stood and walked, entered the temple. Grab this. He entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So you're telling me that Peter and John can do that? I'm telling you, you can do that. I'm talking about God wants to use you, son, you, daughter. You, come on, whether this healing or $20 or buying or taking somebody to lunch, he wants to use us at any capacity to win people at all costs. If you're going to love what God loves, we've said it in closing today. Ian, if you'll come on up, you're going to have to love people. If you're going to love what God loves, you're going to have to love people. God loves people. He sent Jesus and died for all humanity, for all who would call on his name. The Bible says, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. This is what Jesus came to do. Set the captive free. So we see this. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 9. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in Solomon's porch and were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Wow. So here's an opportunity where God used Peter and John to demonstrate his kingdom to a man who sat daily at the gate. Then people saw it, were touched and amazed, began to gather. Does this sound like Acts chapter 2? The power dropped. People showed up. Acts chapter 3. The power is present because now the power is in the believer. Time to quit looking externally and start looking inside. Inside is mighty working power. Amen. Come on, we're looking externally a lot of times. We're born of God. We have the Zoe, life of God in us. It's time to produce. It's time to produce. That's why demons spend so much time frustrating you. That's why devil, Satan, spends so much time with him and his demonic spirits frustrating your husband, frustrating your wife, frustrating your finances. Faith frustrations. I'm frustrated in my faith. No, God's word works. Make the adjustment in your heart. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. And when you do, he will lift you up. And you may have to do this 3 or 4 times a day where you get aggravated about something. And then you humble yourself. You talk it out with somebody you trust. You get it under the blood. Lord, forgive me. I got an attitude here. Come on, you may have to do this several times a day, but you'll get to this place where you're walking with God, but you don't live in a continual place of offense where you're constantly offending people and living in offense and living bitter. You'll live in the place of power like they lived. Amen. If they went to the gate, come on, daily, a worldly man, isn't it interesting how persistent this guy was to get to the gate? Man, if we would be persistent as believers to get to the Word, to get in the Word, get into the Word. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, get into the Word. This is where the power is, knowing your identification in Christ. So Peter said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why so intently look at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Then he says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Then he goes on and he gives a powerful message. So stand with me this morning. We're going to get out of here. This is what I want to do. I want to demonstrate this morning this power. I want to demonstrate this power as a son and daughter of God. I want you this morning, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the righteous ones in this building, I want you to open your mouth. I'm going to pray. I want you to decree and declare. Some of you sitting in this message right here today, though it be simple, it is the Word of God. Amen. And I want you to listen on the inside. The primary way that God speaks to us, by that inward witness. Through the Word, by the inward witness. Come on, we're born of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Some of you, not all of you, but there's some of you, you need to open your mouth and say, "Devil, take your hands off my husband." Some of you in this room need to say, "Devil, you take your hands off my wife." Some of you, I know this by the Holy Ghost. Some of you in this room, you need to use that authority that Christ has given you. See, the veil has been removed. When Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, he said, "I pray," talking about believers, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." When Paul said that prayer, that means literally that there is a veil that was in front of the eyes now that is being removed from my eyes spiritually. So now I can see and hear what the Spirit of God, come on, wants for me and for others. Paul said, "I pray the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that you may," what? "See and know the hope," come on, "the hope of your calling, the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints, which he worked," what? "In Christ, when he raised Jesus from the dead." Do you hear what I'm saying? So this morning, before we close out of here, even those of you online, you're listening on the inside, come on. Right now, some of you, right now, you need to put the devil to flight in your life right now. You need to speak the life of God over your husband, over your kids. Come on, quit allowing the world to dictate, this is how it's going to be. I love psychology. I love that. I do. But that does not trump the truth of God's word. And my intellect is going to be submitted to the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit daily. I believe that I'm a smart man, but I believe my mind and my intellect. See, there's some of us that keep going in the realm of my intellect. I'm smart. I can figure. Yes, you can. But you need to do it the way that God is telling you to do it. And the Holy Spirit will never lead you apart from the Word. The Word and the Spirit agree. So I want to do some speaking. I want you to release life. The same life that Peter and John released in the lame man, I want you to speak to what's lame right now in your life. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's your relationship. I want you to give life right now through the spoken word, through the word of God, whether you say it or pray it. Give life to the lame man in your life right now. If there are things that are lame, begin to speak to it right now. Amen. Right now, just begin to do it. Father, close your eyes, tune everybody out. If you're online, I encourage you, just begin to speak life. Come on, into your lame situation. You say, well, this is lame. I need healing in this area. Father, I thank you right now for bringing your power and your life right now into my money. Come on, into my marriage, into my husband, into my kids. Come on, the devil is not having my money. The devil's not having my kids. The devil's not having my job. Come on. I have what the Bible says I can have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Right now. Right now. Come on. My business ain't, come on, it ain't producing. Begin to speak and then begin to listen at the same time. Come on. The life of God. Come on. You're resurrecting my business. You're resurrecting right now. That which is financially lame is right now coming to financial life right now. Come on, some of you are determining whether you're going to let businesses come or let businesses go. You're going to leave it or stay with it. You need to release what's on the inside of you. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Begin to say what He says. Begin to be bold about what's on the inside of you. Come on, raise the lame situations. Raise that lame man up by your confession of faith in the Word. Amen. I don't like my job. Father, I thank you for a better job. Increase, financial increase. I don't like my relationships. Come on, God, send me a godly man, godly woman, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the life of God. And I thank you, Lord. They're on the way. Come on. And then you begin to see God speaking to you, and you begin to see God ministering to you about making changes in your heart and making adjustments in your heart so you can grow to the place that God needs you to be, so that when your spouse shows up, your future relationship shows up, you're where you need to be spiritually. Come on. Amen. Some of us in this room, Pastor Rachel nailed it earlier today. We need to get busy with our money. Come on. When God says give the 20, you need to quit holding on to it. When you see somebody at Walmart, you see somebody at Dunkin', you say, you just feel in your heart, well, that's just a cup of coffee. Listen, yield to that. Start there. God will build you up. Amen. If you be faithful with little, you'll be ruler over much. If you obey in little things, come on, He'll give you great things. Amen. Come on. So, Father, today we thank you. Come on, we're going to close this thing out by praying again for our nation. Now, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we lift up. Let's do this. See, before I believe we were praying, I think we were more in observance mode. Now, let's pray together. You ready? Come on. Father, I lift up our nation to you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for revival. I thank you for fire and fresh fire on your people today. I thank you for fresh fire in our churches, fresh fire on the ministers, fresh fire, fire, fire. The glory of God, the anointing of God, the power of God in full display, in full demonstration in our nation. In full demonstration in our nation. Listen, I hear this in my heart, not at a quarter capacity, not at a half capacity, not at three quarters capacity, at full capacity. At full, come on, a full gas tank will get you so many more miles than a half gas tank. I thank you for filling your church in this house and across the nation, filling and refilling and refueling and refilling. Ministers watching online, those that are a part of the body of Christ, filled to the full. Come on. Filled to the full. You're not quitting, I prophesy right now. Come on, stay with me. Don't get weary. We're getting ready to close out. But I need you with me. I need your corporate prayer. I need your faith. Come on. I just speak to ministers right now, and I prophesy this. I just hear this in my heart. There's so many ministers that are wanting to quit. And I don't hear this just for our city. I hear this in the body of Christ. And I hear the Holy Ghost say on the inside, I just, right now, life, strength, right now to those ministers right now. Men, women, and children around the nation, around the world. Lord, we stand here today praying as believers. Come on, in corporate worship, corporate prayer right now. Praying for our nation, the body of Christ, praying for the church. Come on, Christians that are weary shall be filled and shall be full and shall demonstrate the works of God. Christians that are bitter, you shall release your bitterness. You shall let go of your hatred and bitterness and be free in the name of Jesus. I can't get off of this. Ministers, 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 full of God's glory, full of the power of God. Do not quit. Do not quit. Do not quit. Come on, y'all, pray. Do not quit. Come on, this is serious. People are under pressure. People are under pressure. Y'all know what it's like in here to be under pressure. Come on, what do you do when you're under pressure? You pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the understanding and in the Spirit. You begin to lift your voice. You begin to allow the fruit of the Spirit, joy, to overtake you and dominate you. You begin to let the fruit of the Spirit, love, dominate you. Come on, lifting your voice. Father, I just thank you right now. Come on, it hasn't lifted yet. It's still here. Come on, just begin to pray for ministers, for the body of Christ. Come on, Father, I thank you for young, old, middle-aged, every ethnicity. It's going to take us all right now. It's going to take every one of us to usher in this great harvest. Father, we thank you. We're praying right now for the body of Christ. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we might see, come on, the riches of your glory. That Christ working through us, that we're rooted and grounded in love. That we know the breadth, the length, the height. To know the love of Christ as passes knowledge, that we be filled with all the fullness of the Godhead. I thank you for the spirit of seeing and the spirit of knowing. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let us see in the realm of the Spirit. Let us see on the inside. Let us grow. I hear that in my spirit. Grow. Grow. Ha ha ha. Growth. I just see growth. I prophesy that. I just hear that in my spirit. Just great growth. Great growth. Great growth. Ha ha ha. That's why it's important that we feed ourselves on the Word of God. Act upon the Word, not just know it, but act upon it. Amen? Father, I thank you. Thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the church. I thank you for the saints in and up under the shepherds in this nation. Come on, I just, hallelujah. If you need to go, you can go ahead and go if you would do that quietly. But there's just a couple more minutes here. I know some of you have places you can be, but if you'll just stay here just a minute. I believe we're supposed to pray for California. I just have this in my spirit about California. Hallelujah. Worthy. Come on, let's lift our voice for a second. Worthy. Worthy, Lord. You're worthy. We'll go, we'll pray, we'll speak, we'll say, whatever you need us to do, we'll do. Oh, we're here, Lord. Oh, we're here. Father, we thank you, we worship you,
We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah.
Some of you watching right in your houses, just begin to lift your voice. Just begin to praise the Lord. Lift your hands. Get on your knees. If you, some of y'all, I know I said to stand. If you need to sit, whatever you want to do.
Hallelujah. Worthy, 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 worthy. Hallelujah. Worthy. Worthy.
Just begin to tell him.
Worthy. Worthy.
Hallelujah.
Worthy, Lord. You're so worthy. Worthy. Hallelujah.
Father, we lift up California to you right now. Father, we know that there's been devastation and fires and things and politics happening. And we're well educated and informed. But Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off California right now. Take your hands off of California right now. That's what I hear in my spirit. You need to tell Satan to take his hands. Come on. There are saints. I hear this in my spirit. There are saints in California saying the same thing, praying the same thing, and they're telling right now, they're taking their authority and their place in Christ, telling the devil, take his hands off right now. And I just hear the Lord say, you need to come in agreement with your brothers and sisters right now by the Spirit. Devil, you take your hands off of California right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for believers rising up. I thank you for laborers and co-laborers rising up to sing and to worship and to pray like never before. I thank you, Lord, we're not writing off that city. We're not writing off that state. But Father, I lift up the ministers, every minister that represents California to you right now. I pray for life and strength into your body. I pray that the Spirit of God quicken your mortal body, strength to you and your spouse and your staff and your family. In the name of Jesus, you will do everything that your church is called to do, and you will accomplish every vision, every plan, and everything that God has called you to do. And I prophesy in the name of Jesus, it shall be exactly as the Lord has said it unto you, man and woman of God, to you, to your spouse, and to your ministry. And I thank you for just financial increase coming to pay every bill, every note in Jesus' name. You'll have nothing missing, nothing broken, 100% in the name of Jesus. What's been taken shall be restored. What is broken shall be fixed right now in the name of Jesus, in your money. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I'm just praying what's just coming out of my spirit for California. Hallelujah. Ivra mandana masito vrebe bekisha danana masum bromante. Ha 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 ha.